Chapter 5. The oubliette wasn't at all where I thought it might be, so I was glad I'd asked Grandfather to lead us there. Over time, magic had moved doors and holes in the floor so often that even a map wouldn't have helped. When we found it, the metal grate didn't look very sturdy. A lattice of holes as wide as the palm of my hand, it was about 3 feet square and quite heavy. The grate felt brittle and was hard to move, but Edric and I were able to lift it free of the opening and set it aside on the floor.
"Now what?"
asked Grandfather, floating over the hole as he peered into the darkness below. "Now I go down there." Taking the piece of string from my purse, I laid it on the floor and made it grow. With a soft hiss, the string stretched until it was longer and thicker. One end of the string fastened to a hook in the wall as the other dropped down into the hole. I listened until I heard the end of the rope slap the floor of the oubliette.
"Let me go first," said Lil.
She fluttered her wings, circled me once, then swooped into the absolute dark of the hole.
"Not much down here," she called. "Just a lot of bones."
"I'll go look," said Grandfather. "Maybe I'll find someone I know."
Drifting through the opening, he disappeared from sight.
"I'll go next," said Edric. "I want to make sure it's safe."
Sitting on the edge of the opening, Edric grasped the rope, hooked one foot around it, and slipped down its length.
"It seems all right," he called,
his voice sounding strangely hollow.
"I'll be right there,"
I called down, and was reaching for the rope when a scrabbling of nails on the stone floor made me stop to listen. At first I thought it was Grisina turned back into a lizard, but when a scrap of shadow detached itself from the gloom, I knew exactly what it was.
"Emma, are you coming?" Edric called.
"In a minute,"
I said, stepping back from the edge of the hole. The glow of my witch's light wasn't very bright, but it was enough to make the shadow moving toward me obvious. The size of a newborn calf, it had no discernible features except for its red eyes. Aunt Grisina had taught me how to deal with the shadow beast years before, so it no longer frightened me as it once had, but I didn't want it to follow us down into the oubliette where I might not have the space to maneuver. Bracing my legs, I waited for it to attack. It came at me in a rush, the scrape of claws on the stone its only sound. I waited until the last second, then hit it between the eyes with my fist while I jumped out of the way. Unfortunately, my foot caught on the grate that I'd left lying on the floor, and I tripped and fell headfirst into the hole.
"Emma, what are you doing?"
Edric shouted as I plunged toward the floor. Something grazed my hand, and I snatched at it, catching the rope and nearly dislocating my arm. The rope swung wildly as I flipped over, so I was right side up again. My witch's light bobbed around like a crazy thing, casting shadows that shrank and stretched on the walls and floor like some strange kind of monsters. I felt Edric grab my legs.
"Let go. I've got you," he said.
Lil circled me so close that her wings nearly brushed my face.
"Why did you do that?"
she asked.
"I thought you were going to climb down the rope."
"Are you all right?" Grandfather said, floating up to where I still hung. "Do you need help?" he asked.
"I'm fine," I said, although my voice sounded forced even to me. I took a deep breath. My heart was pounding so hard I was sure everyone could hear it. "Just let go," I told myself. Unfortunately, my fingers weren't listening, and I couldn't make them do anything.
"I think I'll stay here a while," I announced, although my hand hurt and my shoulder shrieked with pain.
"Why?"
asked Lil.
"You've almost reached the floor anyway."
Edric tightened his grip on my legs.
"It's all right, Emma. You aren't going to fall."
"Tell that to my fingers."
"I'll help," said Lil.
Fluttering closer, she nipped my little finger.
"Ow!"
I said, more surprised than hurt, and my hand jerked away from the rope. I was relieved when I fell into Edric's arms.
"Got you," he said, planting a kiss on my lips. "Now are you glad I came?"
"Yuck,"
said Lil.
"Do you have to do that in front of me?"
Edric laughed.
We're practically engaged, Lil.
That doesn't matter. You humans do the strangest things.
And bats don't? Edric asked.
Not like that.
Edric, put me down, I said. I have work to do. Fine, he said, setting me on my feet. But you have to admit that I'm handy to have around. The room was roughly 8 feet wide and 10 feet long. While one end was dry, I saw gaps in the wall at the other end where stones had shifted, letting water from the moat trickle in. A single skeleton lay sprawled against the driest wall, its legs extending into the middle of the room. However, it was the two corners filled with piles of bones that interested me most. Someone had sorted them neatly, stacking all the skulls in one corner, the rest of the bones in the other. Glancing at the whole skeleton, I decided that he'd probably been the last occupant of the room, and the one who'd piled the bones.
Poor fellow, said Grandfather, hovering above the skeleton. Even his ghost has abandoned him.
I don't like this place, said Lil. It has a bad feeling. Can we go now?
Not until we find what we came for, I said. Let's start over here. I was picking up an arm bone when a skeletal hand wrapped its fingers around my wrist.
Not so fast, said a skull in the other pile. What do you think you're doing? Asked a second skull. Thief! Grave robber! Shrieked a third.
Setting his hand on Ferdy's hilt, Edric said, Emma, step back and let me handle this, and drew his sword from his scabbard. Ferdy began to sing.
I can fight an ogre, I can fight a troll. Plain old bones don't...
That's enough, Edric, I said. I can take care of it. Since skeletons don't have muscles to give them strength, it was easy to pry the bony fingers off my wrist. The hand twitched when I set it on the pile and some finger bones reached up, trying to pinch me, while another hand plucked at my sleeve. I sighed and tried not to lose my temper. The sound of gnashing teeth made me glance up.
All for one and one for all, hollered a skull with a bad overbite. Don't let her take a single bone.
I don't want any bones, I said. I just want to borrow a medallion.
What kind of medallion?
Asked the skull with a cracked jaw. It's for bravery, and I think it's made of silver. It belonged to Hubert, who worked in Grunwald III's stables.
Oh, that medallion, said a skull.
Another skull grunted.
What do you mean, that medallion? There's only one here.
Something clattered behind me.
Look out!
Shouted Lil, and I turned to see the skeleton clambering to its feet. Tottering on wobbly legs, it raised its arms, its shaking hands reaching for my throat.
Oh, stop it,
I said, and gave the skeleton a shove. It fell against the wall with a thump. Its skull must have been loose because it fell off and rolled across the floor until it bumped into the opposite wall.
Serves you right, you big bully,
shouted a skull halfway up the pile.
You always thought you were special just because you had all your parts,
shouted another on the bottom.
I never knew you felt that way, said the skull on the ground.
The skeleton patted the stone floor until it located its head, then set it in place on its neck before turning its back to the other skulls. Putting my hands on my hips, I glared at the skulls and said, I'm here to do a job, and I'd appreciate it if you'd let me get on with it.
Maybe we should just leave, said Lil.
They won't bother you any more, said Edric,
scowling at the skulls as if daring them to defy him. Grandfather floated across the room, his blue outline growing larger and darker until it looked quite menacing.
Perhaps they can help, he said with an edge. I'm sure they know where we can find the medallion.
Why should we help you?
Asked a wavering voice.
Because, said my grandfather, If you don't help, I'll scatter your bones across the kingdom for the wolves and wild dogs to find. The pile of skulls shifted uneasily. However, if you do help, I'll sort you and see that you get proper burials. The skulls muttered among themselves until one of them spoke up.
Do you promise? Cross your ribcage and hope to rest in peace?
I promise, Grandfather said solemnly, on my honor as a king and as a member of the Council of Ghosts.
Then we'll give the girl the medallion, said the spoke skull. But she'll have to return it to its proper owner when she's through with it.
I'm down here, said a muffled voice that I assumed came from Hubert's skull.
The pile of bones shuddered and heaved. Bones slipped off the top while others were pushed up from the bottom. Finally, a bony hand gripping the medallion rose to the surface. Tarnished with age, it was the same medallion that Hubert's ghost had worn on a chain around his neck.
Thank you, I said, taking the silver disc. You've been a big help.
Can we go now?
Asked Lil, flitting around my head. You can, I said, but I won't be going with you. Reaching into my pouch, I took out the bottle of dragon's breath. I had everything I needed now, including a secluded spot from the right century. It wasn't ideal, but I didn't think I'd find anything better.
What do you mean?
Asked Lil.
You said we could leave as soon as you had what we came for.
I know I did, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to go learn what I can about the curse. I shouldn't be gone long, not if I do this right.
Be careful, my dear, said Grandfather. The past was a harsh and cruel time.
I will, Grandfather. I'll be back before you know it. Edric came to stand beside me and rested his hand on my shoulder. Don't worry, Your Majesty. I'll keep her safe. I frowned and shook my head. I told you, Edric, you can't go with me.
And I told you that I am, he replied, looking as serious as I'd ever seen him. You need me as much as I need you.
I need you to stay here where it's safe. Who knows what I'll find in the past?
Exactly, said Edric.
I didn't want to waste my time arguing, so I shook his hand from my shoulder and edged away, confident that I could move beyond his reach when the spell started to take effect. Dyspepsia had said that I needed something to enhance my power, but she hadn't said how much I should use. Dragon's breath is very powerful as well as hard to get, so I decided to let out a tiny bit and hope that it was enough. Holding the medallion in one hand, I took the stopper out of the bottle for a moment to let some of the breath escape, then said the spell I'd already decided to use. Take me to the day before the fairy cast the curse that changed my dear aunt's temperament from kindly to much worse. I was saying the last line when I heard something scrape against the stones above my head. When I looked up, the glowing eyes of the shadow beast were peering down through the opening. Emma! Grandfather shouted, drifting between the creature and me. I could hear the shadow beast's nails on the stone floor as it launched itself down into the oubliette. I tried to move out of the way, but the only path open to me was the corner where the pile of bones rested.
Look out!
Screeched Lil, fluttering around my head.
Emma, over here!
Shouted Edric. He threw himself at me, pulling me out of the way as the shadow beast lunged, but we were both off balance and we started to fall.
Careful!
Screamed a skull as the whole pile trembled. Edric and I were about to land on the pile of bones when the oubliette disappeared, and we found ourselves rushing down a dark tunnel propelled by a buffeting wind. A thunderous roar filled my ears, and at first I thought we'd brought the shadow beast with us. When the wind spun me around, I tried to see something, anything, in the dark, but my witch's light was gone, and I couldn't see a thing. I hope this is supposed to happen, I thought, as the darkness swept us away.